By the time my son Micah had been born, we'd been living overseas for many years. After an emergency caesarean, Micah was given a positive APGAR result and all seemed well. His sister's births were fairly routine with minor complications. And as Micah's prenatal scan showed nothing untoward, we assumed it would be third time lucky. My son didn't open his eyes until just before we were due to leave the hospital. It was only a momentary glance, but enough for me to notice the white cloudiness covering both his eyes. I thought I should mention this to the nurse, but didn't feel particularly concerned. The next hour, however, was quite confusing, as a specialist was brought in to investigate. "You can't see," was the specialist's delicate summary. "Are you sure? Are you sure?" I questioned, still somewhat in a blur from the medication. "You don't believe me? Get another opinion." That was the last we saw of the specialist and the start of our journey. The first 6 months of Micah's life was spent researching a very rare condition, bilateral Peters anomaly, and finding out that if there was to be any chance of sight, Micah would need a transplant or alternative operation as soon as possible. A narrow window of opportunity to activate the visual system to prevent amblyopia or permanent blindness. The country we were living in had no donated corneal tissue appropriate for a baby, and Australia did not send tissue to this country, so we were placed on the waiting list for a cornea from the United States. Over time, it became apparent that it would be a long wait to be at the top of the donation list, so we opted for an older and rarely used surgical alternative back in Australia. Four operations later, and Micah had some peripheral vision at the top of one eye. A miracle, it seemed to us. And soon, it was time for Micah to start preschool. I wasn't sure what to expect or whether he would be allowed into a regular school. The country we were living in did not fully include students with a disability into mainstream schools, and when I left Australia in 1991, Australia had not subscribed to the inclusive education agenda, with the Salamanca Statement on Special Needs Education only signed in 1994. As an educator, I rarely had the opportunity to teach students with a disability. An international school said they would admit Micah, with the only preparation being that we would just see how we go. The school had very limited experiences with children with a disability and had not taught a student with vision impairment previously. Teachers, teacher assistants, and Micah figured it out as they went along. Micah had many, many falls, as he could not see steps, changes in levels, and much of the playground equipment. So it seemed like he was at the nurse's office every day. But despite his bruises, Micah was particularly resilient and determined to learn and play alongside his peers. We moved back to Australia when Micah was in kindergarten, and in year one he attended the local primary school his sisters had attended. And once again, the school had limited experience working with students with a disability, but from day one our experience was mostly positive. I was very nervous about Micah learning the layout of the school, as it was much bigger than his kindergarten. And, as expected, Micah had daily trips to the nurse after running into poles or falling downstairs. After we learnt about the verification process, Micah's disability was substantiated, which meant that support agencies could be contacted and some government funding would be received for additional help. An orientation and mobility expert from Vision Australia helped Micah to navigate the school. They made suggestions for adjustments, such as reducing glare, the purchasing of a tablet on which words could be enlarged, and the use of contrasting colours in the classroom and on the playground, in particular yellow on black. Vision Australia have been an amazing resource, and Micah wouldn't have had the success he had in the primary school without their input. It wasn't until the end of year five that Micah learned to use a white cane, which further increased his confidence. A distinct advantage was that the school had a student services coordinator, well versed in the legal requirements for teachers to adhere to the principles of inclusive education, as well as having extensive knowledge about practical adaptations. Without exception, Micah's classroom teachers were accepting of the advice and assistance provided and embraced the suggestions for differentiation. There did not appear to be any limitations on his inclusion in everyday activities, except for those suggested by his ophthalmologist, such as a ban on contact sports. Over the years, Micah has taken part in dance, drama, softball, fencing, handball, choir, and band. He attended school camps in years 4 to 6, including the year 6 adventure to Sydney and Canberra. Micah has very much benefited from having an additional parent accompany him on this trip, someone who could describe things he could not see, as well as the use of an iPad to photograph and expand images at Australia's Parliament House. Of course, it has not always been smooth sailing for Micah, but these are points for learning. With an additional diagnosis of Rieger syndrome and an action tremor, Micah has always struggled with fine motor skills and his handwriting is still almost illegible. Whilst he has had many sessions with an occupational therapist and was provided a scribe for activities that required lengthy written work, adjustments did not seem to flow into other specialist subject areas such as visual art and Asian languages that use characters. Few alternatives were forthcoming in these areas. Whilst Micah had played the trombone for several years, following in the footsteps of his sisters, he struggled with seeing the music, even when enlarged as much as possible. A significant dip in his eyesight at the end of year 5 coincided with a significant dip in his confidence in several areas. Although the purchase of a music reading app and wireless pedal looked promising, Micah became depressed at the thought of not succeeding in music and eventually gave up playing. Micah is to start learning Braille soon, but in hindsight, it may have been best to begin this a lot earlier so that he could move to Braille music when the printed music became impossible to read. I'm reflecting on Micah's journey whilst on holiday, and Micah sets off for the beach again. Yesterday, he learnt to snorkel and kayak for the first time, loving every minute. He is confident, fearless, resilient and positive, and very much looking forward to starting high school next year. I have many reservations, of course, especially Micah negotiating a new and much bigger school landscape and, in time, public transport. Knowing that early visual loss can have profound effects on a child's motor, social, emotional and psychological development, Micah could be a very different child today, had his journey not included open-minded, supportive and caring teachers and specialists who believed he should have the same educational opportunities as his peers. His friends share the same qualities and are a fabulous support. Being surrounded by strong role models such as his fellow goalball and blind golf players who have competed at international and Paralympic competitions gives Micah even more to strive towards. Inclusive education is not always this way, but it can be, and it should be.